Hi, Paul. It sure is. How are you? Oh, yeah. It's time to party.
9 years.
June 1st. Yep. As of Sunday. No, it's just your eyes are older. Yes. Thank you. may be seated. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day of both rejoicing and facing our sorrow, for we feel loss at the death of Ramona Hadlick. We give thanks to God for her life, both on earth and in eternity. It is because of the promises given to us through Jesus Christ that we know our hopes, our memories, our love, our loved ones live on. And so we come before the Lord with rejoicing this day to share memories and stories that may lead us to share in laughter and moments of tears. Both are welcome in this sacred place. On behalf of Ramona's family, I thank you all for coming. Your presence here is a tribute to the gift of friendship you share with them. It is a sign of faith in God who has blessed us with life on earth and life to come in heaven. Will you pray with me? O loving and gracious God, we give thanks this day for the gift of life, both earthly and eternal. We thank you, Lord, for Ramona and for all of those whom she loved, for her dear husband, Ed, for her parents and brother with whom she's now reunited, and for those she has left behind just for a little while. We pray, O God, your comforting peace to be with her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, that from one generation to the next, when stories are told and shared, they may be filled with love and light, forgiveness and faith, your peace. Bless us now in this time of worship, O God, that we might be moved to give you praise as we say thank you for a life well lived, a life well loved. Amen. I invite you to take out the red chalice hymnal that you'll find in the pew in front of you and turn to page 227. We will sing together In the Garden. Thank you. It is a beautiful image to think of ourselves walking in the garden with the Lord, hearing his voice speak to us. From Scripture, another beautiful text which tells us of the ways in which the Lord speaks to us is found in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In its poetic beauty, the 23rd Psalm brings us words from King David, who himself had perhaps his first job as a shepherd boy. He knew what it was to tend a flock. And during his life, when he ascended to the throne leading the Israelites, he knew what it was to be shepherded by God. Through the mistakes that he made and the triumphs that he shared, the Lord watched over him. And so in these words handed down through the generations, we are reminded that on all of our life's journey, the Lord is with us from beginning to end. Ramona's beginning happened on a September day at 8 decades ago. Her ending came this year, after she had struggled with heart issues and failing health. In between, through all the ups and downs of her days, the Lord watched over her. He was her shepherd. He knew when she walked right paths, and he knew if she stepped off for a while and then came back, and he loved her through it all. In just a few moments, we will hear stories of Ramona's life from her family, shared with humor and heartfelt adoration for a woman who began as daughter, became wife to Ed for 44 years, thrived in the role of mom, mother, directing 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys, and then was delighted to be Meemaw to 8 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, and 1 extra little soul. In the stories that the family shares, I invite you to watch for those moments where you know especially that God was with Ramona. In those moments when she rested in green pastures, and in those moments when she walked through the darkest valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death, when her dear husband Ed departed. After his struggle with cancer, she was brokenhearted, yet her family kept her strong. In the past years, especially Robin and Jenny have been there to care for mom with help and support from Chris and Doug, to make sure that she was able to stay in her own home where she wanted to be until the very end. The Lord is our shepherd. He prepares a table before us, just as she prepared a table before her family. And he leads us on from one adventure to the next. Ramona was always eager for the next adventure. When she was a child, she traveled from one school to the next. Her dad's job, building wooden bridges for the railroad, meant the family was very mobile. And in fact, she studied at 20 different schools before completing her early education. And then she went on to study at colleges in Oklahoma. It was at OSU where she met Ed. And their life's journey led them from Oklahoma to Wyoming, in large part because of the beauty of the Bighorn Mountains. It was in the Bighorns where she loved the most to fish. From one fishing hole to the next, she was always looking for that next spot where the trout would be biting. From one stage of her life to the next, the Lord was always leading her on. She was so eager for one knitting project, one craft project to be completed so she could start the next. In fact, part of the legacy she left behind is a car full of knitting supplies, yarn that's being shared with others so the projects can continue even if completed by other hands. Meemaw was always ready for the next best thing. And now she finally has it. The very best thing of all is to rest with our Lord, the Good Shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Now at the end of her days, he has made Ramona to lie down to rest. He is restoring her soul and leading her in eternity's path. Even though we walk through the darkest valley, that place that the King James Version calls the valley of the shadow of death, even if we walk through the darkest times, the Lord is with us still. His rod and his staff, his love and his care are guiding us through this day of loss. The Lord comforts us. The Lord prepares a table before us. In the face of our enemies, the psalm promises. In the face of our family and our friends. In the presence of strangers and those we know and love alike, God sets a feast, a banquet, a place of abundance and welcome, to remind us that even if our hearts have been hardened, there is nothing beyond God's forgiveness and grace. So we come this day to celebrate the life of a woman who was strong and at times strong-willed, a woman who shepherded her children so that they had both roots and wings. They knew where they belonged, and they were free to go and explore the world. And if ever hardship came, she would be there to help them move back home and try again. I didn't know Ramona, but I know you. And because I have met you, I know she was proud of each of you. She was a good mom. You can see that in her kids, in their work ethic, in their care for one another, in the efforts they have made even just for this day of celebration to be special, to honor Ramona, a sheep of God's own fold, a lamb of his own choosing. It is by the grace of God that we know. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And Ramona shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I invite Robin to come up and share with us stories of her mom's life.
First of all, I would like to thank Pastor Cynthia and friends and family of First Christian Church. It's always a difficult time, but I feel very blessed to belong to this church and all of the friends and family that we have. I may be repeating some of Cynthia's message, but I would just like to say and introduce myself as Robin Hadlock Nelson. Ramona was my mother. I'd like to share a few words about her amazing life. She was born in 1931, and her family lived in a small trailer when they were growing up, and they moved from town to town while her father worked on the railroad, repairing and building bridges during World War II. As her family moved from town to town, as Cynthia mentioned, she was so proud to have gone to over 20 schools in her lifetime, and most of the schools were attended by military children. So there might be two or three people in that class, but she was so proud of that. And I think it made her a better person. After her brother was born, they decided to settle in Guthrie, Oklahoma, so they could go to a permanent school because they had traveled so much. Her father retired from the railroad and went into the dairy farm business in Guthrie. Mom worked on the farm. She hayed cattle, drove the tractor, and she was so proud of that. She was a farm girl. She milked cows. She really didn't mind getting her hands dirty. Mom graduated from a women's college in Chickasha, Oklahoma, and then attended Oklahoma A&M in Stillwater, which is now Oklahoma State University. This is where Mom met her soulmate, my dad, Edward George Hadlock. What a man he was. The attraction was love at first sight. They both enjoyed fishing. They liked the lakes of Oklahoma and later loved to fish and camp in Wyoming. When we lived in Oklahoma, we packed up that old green Dodge and pulled a handmade trailer to Wyoming and Montana 3 weeks every summer. And my sister loved every moment of it. You'd have to know her to understand that. It was always a family affair to go vacation in Wyoming. These were such fond memories. One of our favorite places, one of their favorite places in Wyoming, was the Bighorn Mountains and many of the lakes in the area. As a result of these vacations, they decided to move their family to Casper, Wyoming, so they could enjoy being closer to the mountains and expose us to a very, very, I want to say, part of our life. And they just enjoyed it so much to be in the mountains. In the later years, I made a point to go with them every year to camp and walk that many a stream to fish. I was so amazed that their love for each other and the enjoyment that they shared was the outdoors as well as each other. After many years of vacationing in Wyoming, they moved to Casper. They purchased a few acres on the North Platte River and built their dream home. Mom loved to garden and work, and she also worked in many places too, like control data and automation electronics. That was her career. She loved to work with her hands. And Dad had his garage. Mom's hobbies included so many: knitting, crocheting, weaving, and quilting, just to name a few. She loved to work with her hands. And Jude, she loved to make you candy at Christmas time. She knitted until the last days of her life. She always said, "I need to finish that last project." And believe you me, she had many. And a lot of them were unfinished. But she gave it her best. She always said, "I have so many close knitting friends throughout the United States." And she traveled to knitting seminars everywhere. In later years, my sister Jenny and I took her to Colorado, Kansas, Idaho, and Oklahoma so she could attend and visit friends and just knit. Her passion to teach people and share her talent was a great way to make friends, and she enjoyed that the most. If you had a knitting problem, she would do anything to help you. And believe you me, she always came home and said, "Oh, I helped so-and-so do this and do that." And pretty soon, Mom had all this yarn, and she would give it away, and she'd give, if you just wanted to learn how to knit, she would just be right there. She'd live with you just to show you how to knit. This gave her great pleasure. Mom loved her family. She had 4 children, 8 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren, and the late Jason Sauden, which is symbolized by red roses on the stand over here. She loved to be a meemaw to all of them, and she was so proud. Thanksgiving and Christmas was always at her house, and it was fun to be all together. It was a tradition together at Christmas time, have a campfire outside. It didn't matter if it was windy, snowing, or whatever. She wanted that campfire outside. And my brother, Chris, would cook the meal outside over the fire. She loved to see us all together at the holidays. And it was a special treat when my brother, Doug, and his family would come from Ohio. Mom, this message is for you. We adored you. We loved you. We took care of you. We prayed for you. We were the lucky ones. You were a treasure to us all. You are now with Dad and with God, walking to that nearest creek to fish, camp, and enjoy the mountains in Wyoming. Someday we'll be with you. We'll be with you to fish and camp. Your memory is my keepsake, Mom, with which I will part. God has you in his keeping. I have you in my heart, Mom. Thank you all for letting me share this special moments about my mom. And I know that she would be humbled and thankful that everyone came today and that she would be proud of her family. Thank you and amen.
Okay, try to have some patience with me while I try to make it through this. I don't think there is a single person in this room who didn't have a special relationship with Meemaw. She was a matriarch, a leader, and the glue that held this family together. She not only was one of my favorite people, but she had one of the greatest impacts on who I am as a person. In many ways, she shaped me. I was lucky to have many strong women in my life. I had my mom, my Aunt Robin, and of course, Meemaw. I was taught to also be a strong woman and that I could do anything that I wanted. She passed this value down to everybody in the family. I feel I was very lucky to be taught that women can love science, be analytical, good at math, and also be funny. When I was a baby, I couldn't really say grandma, so I called her Meemaw. Little did we know that it would carry over for so long. It was more than a cute name given by a child. It was a moniker of love and respect. She wasn't a Meemaw, she was our Meemaw. Some of my fondest memories as a child were her taking me to automation and electronics where she worked. That was before she retired. The project at the time was building chipsets to go into these large mainframes. Back then, chips were very large, and mainframes that held them looked like porta-potties. They were like walk-in closets when you actually walked inside of them, so they were much bigger than they looked on the outside. While soldering filled the air, I would run around with a scarf she had knitted, a sonic screwdriver, and I would pretend these mainframe bases were the TARDIS, which, for those of you who didn't know, Doctor Who is the phone booth. He traveled through time and space. Back then, Doctor Who was one of our favorite shows to watch together. Anyone who had watched Doctor Who with her knew that Doctor 1, 3, and 4 were the best, but not 5. I am positive I was afraid of shop vacs as a child because they looked like the Daleks, the villain who tried to exterminate the human race in Doctor Who. It's very obvious that me and Meemaw loved a very cheesy shows, since the biggest plot hole in the show was a big bad villain that looked like a vacuum cleaner and had toilet plunger arms and could be undone by a flight of stairs. I am known to be a tech savvy gadget hound that is good at trivia night solely because of Meemaw's influence. I will often tell you where to get movies without having to hook two VCRs together, what app is perfect for your phone that will help you utilize your smart gadgets in your home, and don't forget about those weather apps. Growing up, we always had the newest tech before anybody else did. She had a satellite where we could virtually get any kind of broadcast. Most grandmas struggled to work their touch-tone phone, but not Meemaw. She would tune in to shows across the world and even record them. You just haven't lived until you've seen a Rockies game in Japanese. Don't forget about that bag phone that we couldn't really use most places that we traveled because they had no cellular networks built at the time. But we felt like we were living in one of those popular mechanics magazines that Grandpa had a subscription to, but never actually read. She introduced me to the world of musicals. We wore out the VCR tape of one of my absolute favorite movies, still to this day, Singing in the Rain, which is where my adoration for Gene Kelly came from. I felt the safest and warmest at Meemaw's, and I was always by her side, whether I was playing on the floor of her knitting room while she tried out new designs on her knitting machine, laying on the couch while she worked word puzzles, watching Agatha Christie mysteries, working 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles with her in half a day while we watched Pete's Dragon or Brigadoon for the 87th time. Or she was doing new crafts that we saw at the craft store. The craft store. Or any store for that matter. I hope you had a lot of time on your hands, a book, or a really big imagination to pass the time if you were going to go to the store with her as a kid. I am positive the life cycle of a tortoise is shorter than the amount of time she would spend in the store, and heaven forbid you would wait in the car. No good deal was safe around Meemaw. She would find them no matter how hard they tried to run and hide. She needed to get that roast or the liver and onions or those ribs because she knew everyone would just show up for dinner sometimes. And even if they didn't, she always had a plate ready for you, even before you knew you were going to go out there and visit. If you showed up, she would let you know where she got the best deal and no ingredients that she used were ever any state secrets. At any time, you could show up there. Just walk in because the place was always open to everybody. She loved to cook, she loved to knit, she loved to shop, but really the intention behind many of these things was to make the people around her happy with gifts and food. We were all raised to be good and kind people because it is what Meemaw and Grandpa instilled in us. As Robin was talking about, holidays were a very big deal. Many of us here today love the holidays because of Meemaw and Grandpa. To us, it was never about gifts. It was about being together and loving each other. Even when we stuck our fingers in buns just to irritate Robin. The amount of Christmas decorations we took out of the attic was immense and kind of scary, if you really think about it. But always my favorite thing to decorate with Meemaw, Grandpa, and Robin and watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Babes in Toyland. Thanksgiving is still my favorite holiday because our celebrations, and I am sure no matter where we are during the holiday, if we can't be together, a helping of potatoes will always need an extremely unhealthy helping of butter. She taught us all to love nature. It was an important part of the Meemaw experience to camp, fish, and appreciate birds and animals. Even if you didn't like those things, you could probably hold a pretty good conversation about it. own a pair of binoculars and maybe even know how to pull worms out of the ground. You also knew that if you didn't make it to the truck or the van at 5 a.m. sharp, you're being left behind. There still won't be a time she won't impact us. Her journey might be over on this plane, but she will still be there with us to roll her eyes at the bad pun that you thought was funny, remind you where you laid those pliers down that you can't find, help you figure out where the puzzle piece goes, and get excited stumbling upon a new gadget that you just saw online. She will always be our Meemaw.
Taller than these two. Thank you all for being here today. It means so much to our family to celebrate her life with you. I am Jessie Sodden, Chris's oldest daughter, and fall in the middle of the Hadlock grandchildren. As you just heard from Jamie, Ramona was affectionately referred to as Meemaw by our family. Meemaw was the jack of all trades, so to speak. I think you're seeing a theme here, and you'll kind of hear a lot of that in my my stories too. She had many hobbies, and she was good at every one of them. Today, on behalf of the grandchildren, I would like to share some of our favorite memories and stories about Meemaw. Nearly all of our memories relate to some of the hobbies she was best at: traveling, shopping, cooking, knitting, quilting, and fishing. I promise these stories are different than what you just heard. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to travel with Meemaw, Aunt Robin, and Aunt Jenny on their yearly trip to Guthrie, Oklahoma. We always went in April because the roads were good enough to travel, and it was cool enough that we could be outside without sweating profusely. It was on these trips that I became much closer with Meemaw. Jenny always drove, Robin rode passenger, and Meemaw and I sat in the back. When she was not telling me stories from her childhood, doing trivia, or we were not napping, Meemaw was usually making comments about Aunt Jenny's driving. Generally, it was about the speed Jenny was traveling. It was either too fast or too slow. But Jenny was nearly always right at the speed limit because she knew that Meemaw was watching the speedometer over her shoulder. Other times, it was about things Jenny had no control over, like cars flying by us or getting too close to our lane. I suppose as a mother, you were always a backseat driver. Once in Guthrie, we would always visit the cemetery and place flowers on every gravesite for every member of her family, including parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and her brother. These days were always fun because Robin and Jenny and I would place the flowers at the gravesite, and Meemaw would direct us to do what she wanted us to do. My aunts were always full of shenanigans at the cemetery, and that made the mood lighter, especially when Meemaw would laugh at them with me. Their antics would keep us laughing the rest of the week. This part of the trip was always the most important to Meemaw because it showed she always remembered her family and their memories. After the cemetery, the trip was littered with a trip to yarn stores to replenish and overstock on yarn for projects to come. Shopping was not in short supply, as we went to any Walmart along the way, because as she put it, not every Walmart is the same. There is always something different at each one. I must have been an okay travel companion because they invited me year after year. I accepted year after year because spending time with Meemaw and hearing her life stories turned into some of my fondest memories. Jamie was able to travel with Meemaw and Grandpa quite a bit when she was younger, in a sweet van that had a TV that got zero channels. While the TV was quite the conversation piece, the van allowed them to see the sights all over the U.S. Meemaw and Grandpa also made several trips to spend time with Amanda and Sabrina when they lived in California. When not traveling nationwide, my grandparents loved to camp and fish in the Bighorns, which was part of the reason that they moved out west in the first place. If you didn't know that, now you do. Whenever there was a chance, Meemaw was up for a trip. Speaking of fishing, another fond memory that my sister Lindsay and my brother Ryan shared was getting to fish with her. My brother recalls that she was always so eager to get out on the lake and could not wait to spend the whole day out there fishing. We're talking early, which was not in my brother's wheelhouse. Always the teacher, her patience showed through when teaching any of us how to fish. She often caught the most fish out of anyone, including my grandpa, dad, and Uncle Doug. Lindsay remembered a time when she was in college that she went to the lake with Mima and my dad to fish. Lindsay didn't know how to worm a hook, so Mima taught her. However, Lindsay didn't want to touch the worms anyway, so Mima just wormed all of her hooks the rest of the day. As I previously mentioned, Mima loved to shop. She went nearly every weekend, whether she needed to or not. She loved to find the latest gadgets and newest kitchen tools, and if you ever complimented her purchases, she remembered. In fact, one of her favorite things to do was purchase the exact same thing for you the next week and see the look on your face when you realized you had mentioned it and she remembered. She was so giving, and the joy in her face and in her voice when she gave the gift was something to be treasured. Shopping aside, Mima also loved a good picnic. All of us grandkids agree that these picnics were some of our favorite memories. There was nothing like having our whole family out to her expansive river property for good food, including her delicious potato salad, and relaxation. There was never a shortage of iced tea, watermelon, homemade ice cream, and family pictures. Iced tea is a part of all our family functions. One year, Mindy broke one of Mima's tea jars and thought she would be in a ton of trouble because the week before that, she broke a needle on Mima's record player, and she really did get in trouble. Mindy is a DJ now, so she understands now the severity of breaking that needle. However, Mima wasn't too hard on her because the tea jar could be easily replaced. From time to time at the picnics, Mima would be making one of her beautiful quilts in the yard, but we mostly enjoyed running around and up and down the hills while the adults sat back and enjoyed their time. Mima had a passion for all things craft. Her quilts were plentiful and some of the most beautiful you had ever seen. Mima's giving spirit was also shown through her love of knitting. She made hundreds of scarves over the years and gifted many to the Henry Home for Girls and other organizations. If all of our family members pooled our scarves together, we could open a large store. At one point or another, Mima tried to teach all of her grandgirls how to knit or crochet. It stuck with Amanda, Sabrina, and sort of with Kelly. Amanda and Sabrina inherited Mima's skill at any craft area and create beautiful pieces as Mima's, and quite an array of them as well. Sabrina and Mima would often meet at All That Yarn here in Casper to knit together with her on knitting night. Again, Mima was always a patient teacher. Kelly remembers that Mima tried and tried to teach her how to knit. Mima purchased the whole setup for knitting, hooks and all, and would put the finishing touches on her projects for her. Kelly was a pretty awful knitter, but Mima never showed any frustration and even fixed her mistakes for her. There are so many fantastic memories to share with you, and it was incredibly difficult to decide which were our favorites. Mima loved all of us dearly and was so proud of our accomplishments and achievements. Her face brightened whenever any of us came to visit, and especially when her great-grandchildren, Caden, Noah, Ethan, Aurora, Avery, Charlie, Adelaide, and Mackenzie were around. Mima had a great love for her whole family, and it is instilled in all of us. We loved her dearly, and we will miss her immensely. In the words of my nephew, Ethan, Mima was a really nice great-grandma, and she was a great-grandma.
We continue sharing memories of the Hadlick family through a gift of visual slides. Thank you. Amen. Yay. What beautiful memories the family has shared with us through stories and through photos. Because family was so important to Ramona Lee Simpson Hadluck, I've been asked to read a litany of names celebrating all of those whom she loved and knew so well. Ramona was preceded in death by her loving husband of 44 years, Edward George Hadluck, her parents, Vern A. and Mildred Rachel Ward Simpson, and her brother, Ernest Lee Simpson. She is survived by her four children and their spouses, Robin D. and Kirk Nelson, Jennifer A. and Mark Christman, Christopher A. and Alan Hadluck, Douglas S. and Kelly Hadluck. She is also survived by her eight grandchildren and eight great-grandchildren, Jenny's girls, Jameel and Mindy Christman, Chris's branch of the family tree, granddaughter Jessica married to Jason Sodden and their daughter Adelaide, Lindsay and Shannon Moore, parents to Mackenzie, Ryan and Chelsea Hadluck, parents of Ethan and Aurora, and Kelly Hadluck. Doug shared Mima's love with her grandchildren, Amanda, married to Joe Sanchez, and their children, Caden and Noah, and Sabrina, married to Curtis Thompson, and their children, Avery and Charlie. She got to meet her ninth great-grandchild in heaven on April 1st, baby Jonathan Sodden. We continue our time of tribute with a gift of music shared by Ramona's son, Chris, and granddaughter, Kelly Hadluck.
Promised good. life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you, Kelly and Chris. That was absolutely beautiful. Would you pray with me? Oh God, your grace is amazing. It is your grace through Christ which forgives our sins. It is your grace, O Lord, which allows us to know that from our first breath to our last, you watch over us. O Lord Jesus, our shepherd and friend, we thank you again for watching over Ramona. We thank you for her life, for the love that she knew, the work that she did. We thank you for streams fished, projects knitted, hearts mended. Lord, we thank you for watching over every breath Ramona took from September 15, 1931 until February 26, 2018. Oh God, it is by your amazing grace that we know Ramona's life has not ended, but has been transformed. She has left behind the earthly home that gave her so much joy and then at the end became a burden. She has been set free from chains of sin, chains of pain, chains of longing. Oh God, we thank you for your grace which sets us all free and in your time calls us home to rest in pastures green beside still waters on heaven's shore. Lord, we pray for your eternal peace to surround Ramona. Bless her, gracious God, from this moment throughout eternity to know you, to be acknowledged as a child, a daughter of your own redeeming. O Lord, by your grace, may it be acknowledged that she lived as well as she knew how, fully, every day. May she hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless now with peace those she has left behind, that they may have the grace to live in ways that honor the best memories of their mother, Mima, and friend. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We will close the service today by singing together, "How Great Thou Art." You'll find it in the hymnal on page 33. We will sing verses 1, 3, and 4. If you're able, please stand. Again, on behalf of the family, I thank you for coming today and invite you downstairs to Fellowship Hall for a reception. There will be beverages and cookies for you to share a time of memory with the family. If you can at all stay, we do ask you to enjoy a bit of refreshment before you get on with your day. If you've not had a chance to sign the guest book, please do so, so that the family has a record of your presence here today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we thank you for shepherding us through this life, for watching our journey from one fishing hole to the next, from one project to the next, from one day to the next. O Lord, we thank you for calling Ramona to her eternal rest. And we pray now that those she has left behind will cherish long the memories, the lessons, the love she has given them. O God, bless now with peace all who are here, that we may know you and love you. In Christ's name, amen.